His Love Christian Fellowship is excited to share this podcast with you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And your love endures forever.
The Apostle Paul went through that. I was actually thinking of him today. And I don't know if you've ever read the list of what he's had to walk through to get to the point where he became the robot. But, you know, I think that's the process, is you get reduced. And it was funny because Ron and I were praying for everybody on the way in, and it was like, Lord, help us to come to the place of understanding that we're weak so he can be strong. Because honestly, the work he wants done is the only he can do. And so he doesn't need, and he didn't need the Apostle Paul's great teaching powers and great, not that he didn't use that shell, but he had to get reduced. So I think that's, I don't think you're unusual, Jared. I think we're all there. And we have moments where we can say, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm doing it. And then we have times where we go, I believe. You know, I think that's just all of us. So, Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you for this new year that's beginning. I thank you for Zorro coming. I thank you for the vacations we all got to have. And if we didn't get to have any, I just pray for great grace and rest on those that didn't. Because, Lord, Ron and I know what that's like. And, Lord, when you were young, we didn't get it for years. And so, Father, I just pray for refreshing in the homes, refreshing all over all of us as we begin the new fall year and all the things that are going on in our lives. We just bless you. Lord, we bless you. Well, I read a couple of words, and this was, I think, after I'd heard Jared, but I had felt that this next move of God was going to be a move of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's always a move of the Holy Spirit, always. But I felt it was going to be a move of the Holy Spirit in this hour where what was shown was the Father in this last season and the Father's love, which will not go away, okay? And then Jesus has been what's been shown for years of Jesus on the cross, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Mighty One, our strength. But the Holy Spirit has always been, at least for me, a little bit in the background. And I always heard the Holy Spirit hides. I've always heard that, you know, it's exalting the Father and it's exalting the Son. And so I started doing a lot of study on the Holy Spirit because I knew that the Lord told me that this move was going to be a Holy Spirit power, resurrection power movement. And Jesus was raised from the dead by resurrection power. That was the Holy Spirit who put life back into his mortal body and raised him, okay? Now, it's still all God, and they're all one. So go figure. You can't. You know, my brain gets weary trying to figure God, okay? But the Holy Spirit is, and Tony struggled with this a little bit, the word ruach is a feminine word. He's not a male or female God, he is God. There's no gender in heaven. Jesus had gender because he came the Son of Man. But figure this out, the children of Israel, who were all sons, figuratively, were called the daughter of Zion. Why? We're called the bride. Why? Because the wholeness of God includes male and female. And so when you want to see what God looks like, you look at a marriage that's deeply in love and they're working together and you see a picture of who God is. Well, because of that, the picture of the Holy Spirit is more maternal. And I was looking up the Hebrew words and it said, when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove, that John the Baptist understood that it was the Father anointing the Son, and it was anointing through the dove, which was a paternal and maternal movement. This is my Son. And when that happened and that anointing came, the church was birthed. So the understanding of what God is doing right now is birthing something, birthing new life. There's going to be an incredible explosion of power, more than we've ever known. When Jared was describing, that's why when he shared it the other night, the Lord had been showing me there's going to be an extreme power explosion. Yes, stop for the one, but watch the power. Stop for the one. You know, we've been in the past telling people God loves them, praying for them, but the power explosion is going to change everything just like it did for the disciples. And we're coming into a movement. And the prophecies have just been over and over like nothing we've ever seen. I believe that God has been positioning us in weakness, in need for the renewal and the hunger of the Holy Spirit. So saying all that, I read a couple of words that I felt were really good. This one was Doug Addison. And he said, we're praying for people all over the world who are suffering right now. The earthquake in Mexico, Hurricane Harvey and Irma, fires in the western United States, and the persecution, you guys know, across the earth. There is a sense of anxiety about terrorism and violence, what's happened in London. People are asking me if there's a prophetic message in it at all. And I've heard this over and over. My answer is, this is not judgment, but the birthing pangs of a coming revival that is going to be the biggest move of God in history. It's now upon us and already starting. The enemy wants you to look at the distractions, the storm, and not God. Let us encourage you, though. Jesus spoke of this very season we are in. People have been expecting the second coming of Christ, but that cannot happen without the billion soul harvest happening first. Let me show you in the Bible. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not afraid. Such things will happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places and hurricanes. All these things are the beginning of birth pangs. These words spoken by Jesus are a direct reference to what is happening in the world right now. We're seeing catastrophic events of biblical proportions. God heard our prayers over Irma. He really did. He reduced that hurricane. It could have hit Florida at a Category 5 and gone up that way, and it reduced and reduced. The only place that really received the hardest hit was the islands and then the Keys. But God heard the prayers of his people and began to blow against that until that thing dissipated and actually became, even though a lot hurricanes always cause damage, it was minimal compared to what we saw in Houston. The epic proportions, and I heard that word, this hurricane was the biggest thing they'd ever seen. You guys saw it. I mean, literally, Miami, which wasn't really hit, got more damage because of the size of that thing. This is epic proportion. And God's telling the body of Christ, don't fear. Stand. So here we are. This isn't God's judgment. And I have loved this word. Johnny and Lo say the same thing. It is the earth groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, because this great move of the billion soul harvest is upon us, you guys. We've been in a place of preparation. We're in a place now, and it's upon us. And I think it's exciting. There is an excitement to know there's something so much more. Anyway, it says, because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Will I find faith on the earth? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The end of the world's not necessarily going to happen the way we think. Revival and the glory of the Lord is first returning to the earth. What is important right now is that we're not in fear, that we don't let our love grow cold. And I think, Jared, that's your vision, that all the things that get between us and that fire of God and that love of God, that love would not grow cold. keep the faith and trust God during this time. Jesus is coming again, but revival, first it's revival, first it is in a revival. We're praying that God will open the heavens and release the floods of his Holy Spirit and the fire of his presence on us all. And then this was another one, just a short thing. On Rosh Hashanah, which is Thursday and Friday, the sounds of shofars blow. And if you got one, blow it. I saw a vision of a shofar from the viewpoint of heaven rather than on earth. And I saw the Lord in the clouds, with the clouds all around him, holding up the shofar. As the Father blows the shofar sound, I believe it's to announce that a great awakening has begun. I see tens of thousands of faces, old and young, of every color and ethnic group. Just as the sound waves move, we will hear the shofar blast, and we will move with him. Just as in Genesis 1:2, I saw God's ruach, his very breath of life, his wind of the Spirit. This is another word, see, and it's just, God always confirms everything. This ruach wind of his Spirit being blown through the shofar and a violent awakening taking place. Church, rise up. This is our finest hour. God has announced his verdict in the courts of heaven. The petitions have gone forth, and the orders will be executed on your behalf. Ron and I prayed some things about the courts of heaven. Marty sent us the thing. I got some books by Robert Henderson on the courts of heaven, because we've had years of intercession. And a lot of our years of intercession we've done so far. But he begins to describe that in the courts of heaven, and I started reading a ton about the courts of heaven after that. In the courts of heaven, when you go and position yourself and stand, now I've gone before the throne room. That's not the same as the courtroom. The courtroom is where the widow who said, "Give me what's mine." She went and stood before the judge. Well, he wants to render in our verdict. He wants to do it. He wants to render his judgment in on behalf of us, but he takes people. That's dominion. It takes our dominion. So we go and we come to him over things in our lives that have hindered the walk of God. Say that you have something that's repeated over and over again. Say that you have an infirmity in your family line that won't break. Say that you have divorce on down. Whatever the thing is, you go to the courts of heaven and you say, "I am tired of this. I don't want this, Father, anymore. Show me what I need to repent of. Show me where this has come. And I'm asking you to turn the verdict in my favor." And Ron and I began to pray that way because there were certain things that had not moved or shifted in our lives. And they were patterns. And we said, "Okay. Now, we've prayed, we've repented of generational sins. This church is not unfamiliar with that. But this was different because we stood there. The enemy, the accuser, does not get his way. And I'm going to tell you why. It was defeated at the cross. And when you ask for the desire of the Father and you stand in the courts of heaven, the cross renders a victory for you right then. And that's where we are. And I believe that that is, and so this whole season that we're in, 5-7, 7-8 is two things. 5-7 is two parts. This is the year to storm the gates. I'm going to tell you it's the throne room. Storm that throne room and get your land. Get your the Lord saying, "I've given you the verdict." And the second is to tear down the false idols, the false gods, and the false religion of man with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what this year is all about. In this word, they were talking about Bethel. The God's people have journeyed to Bethel, means the holy place. Bethel, a place where you roll all your problems onto him. It's a place where God makes changes. Well, in 2000, I'm trying to think of what year this was. I think it's 2007. I believe that when the Lord, and the Lord gives me prophetic things that really do show time, show timetables and show things. This was in 2007. I went to Bethel, and I've shared this years ago, but so that would have been 10 years ago. And I believe the movement of God, and you'll see the description of the Father's love came to me in that hour. Went to Bethel, Israel. This is Israel, literally Bethel. Got a stone and laid my head on it. And we were allowed to be there for a long time. I immediately began to ascend to heaven. I immediately had a heavenly visitation. It seemed it was easy, no work. And I saw my boys waiting at the portal. David was so big and strong. What a fine man he had become. I cried for joy. They were so excited for me, like they wanted to show me something. Jacob was bigger than the last time I saw him, but with a build more like John's. Oh, but his eyes were so intense, piercing blue. And with them was their little sister. This was before Ava was born, too, by the way. And with them was their little sister, Rachel. I'd forgotten about her. And I say, name your miscarriages, because you're gonna greet them in heaven. I'd forgotten about her, but she'd not forgotten me. She was small with dark hair, like Hannah, but very curly. I was so enthralled with looking at them, each one, but they were hurrying me on like we had a purpose in a short time. It was then I saw Jesus, and I began to weep at his feet. They were pierced, and I was kissing them. He pulled me up face to face and began to talk to me. I asked him why I hadn't, and this was one of the courts of heaven things that I went for just recently. I asked him why I hadn't seen my grandma, who had loved me so much on earth, and he said she was busy. And I've read stories since then about heaven. All of a sudden, I saw her on a throne, so glorious, and I wept, remembering how hurt and broken her life was. Here she had honor. She had been a tiny 4'9" preacher for the Lord, but so rejected by man, by her husband, and she was ruling. I was so amazed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, those who don't get their thrones on earth will get them in heaven if they'll keep their faith in me. All this was happening in seconds. I saw new things. Again, Jesus took me to the river. I did not know that that was there, the first vision I ever had. Pure water flowing through the city. The water was so clear, transparent, almost alive. And at this time, Jesus had me take the leaves I had eaten the last time, 7 years ago, from the trees and put them in my pockets to give as healing for the nations. From that point on, I started going to all the nations. And I knew, and I know that Georgian has said it, but when I've gone places, it's like my heart is for that nation and crying out for a healing of that nation. I've been to 19 nations since that vision. God, when he shows you things, he's going to do them. I would have never thought that could happen. I was ashamed I'd not used the sickle bar he had given me the last time to reap. I told him I was sorry. He said I was sorry, and he said that I'd been giving it to many, and I saw that we would use them together. After that, Leanne had a dream. It was about a ship, and we were all on this ship together, and we were pulling in nets, and there was so many fish, but it took us all to pull in the nets. You guys, we're a net. We're knit, and we're going to pull in the fish. We've got to stay in this place of love and unity and begin to pull, but God is doing that. I saw that I'd been handing them out on earth all this time and hadn't known it. Then I told him I didn't have the strength to use it. This is, to me, Jared, your word. And he said, good. Now you know you can't come from any strength of yours. I've removed your own strength, Teresa. It's mine in you. Paul understood this when he said he gloried in his weakness that the power of Christ would come. He told me now his strength would be in my arms and back to wield the sickle. And then he spoke this scripture to me. I did not know this scripture. And it says, as for you, O watchtower of the flock, a stronghold of the daughter of Zion. And I feel that's what's getting ready to happen. The former dominion will be restored. Kingship will come to the daughter of Zion. We are the children of the Lord. Kingship is coming to the daughter of Zion. And how kingship comes is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing everyone afflicted by the enemy. That is the move of God. That is what is going to be happening. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, and I will give you strength and anointing of iron. I will give you hooves of bronze to trample on the enemy. And then he took me to the Father, Abba. Here's the move of God that started at that point. Papa. And I laid my head on his lap. This is that spirit of adoption that has been coming. I felt so loved and so secure. He told me this is what he wants. Children so deeply secure, not doubting his love. I was so amazed. I felt his love just for me. I didn't say anything, but he knew. That was the move, and it is a continuing move. That's what's going to continue to happen. He said, Teresa, if I fill you with all the love you could ever hold, even as you give it away, let it flow out of you, it wouldn't even be a drop in the vastness of my love. We don't ever need to be proud of what we do, because we just give away what's been given. We just keep giving away. I'm looking for vessels to be poured out again and again so I can fill full to the overflowing. The more you pour, the larger the vessel you become to hold my glory. Unwavering faith in my goodness and love and faithfulness is what I desire. I believe that in this hour, we're getting ready to see the next move of God. I believe that we've been reduced. I know Ron and I have felt very, very reduced in this season. But like Paul, I glory in my weakness. That's a hard thing to do, that the power of God can rest on me. I glory in my need. I glory in what I need of God. Instead of getting mad that I'm needy of God, I glory in it. That's a huge step. It is. How many of us glory when we feel weak and need? I don't like it. I complain sometimes. I cry and I say, I feel weak. But Paul learned contentment in every situation, and he learned to glory in his weakness. This body has learned to glory in their weakness. I've watched you all, every one of you. I've watched you face things and go through things. And yes, the weakness has been there. One, the faith never quit. The love didn't grow cold. And we're learning to glory in our weakness. Ron and I definitely could continue to use your prayers. God's opened doors of neighbors and people talking to us that haven't for a long time because of this cancer. And that's a glory to us. It really is. And we've been able to love on our neighbors and say things. But one of them had said, it's a roller coaster ride. It is. This whole journey's been a roller coaster ride. Anybody relate to that? I mean, seriously. But I believe, and he believes, that he's going to be completely healed. I'd had a word years ago. I had 9 lives, and it was like, never seen anything like you. You just keep getting up. And I thought, well, here's another one. Here's another life I need in you, Jesus. I'd watched a video this morning, and it's by a guy named Chris Wark that I've been reading some things about cancer from him. And it was a video, he's a Christian, and it was a video of a runner. And it was a high school game. And the high school game, they were running, and the star was winning, and it was just, the video's kind of fuzzy. It must have been mom video in it. Anyway, but it was, you know, really winning, and she fell. And they've got a song in the background. All of a sudden, it starts up of worship. And you alone are all I need. You alone are all I need. She fell. The whole team ran way. I mean, they were sprinting. So imagine she got up and you hear, you are all I need. You're all the strength I need. You're all I need. You're all I need. And she got up and she started running. And while that song's playing, she passes one person after another and goes on to win that race. And then they had a scripture that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You guys, we found the answer to the whole world. His kingdom is alive with us. What joy. Trials, yeah, but joy. I mean, it is. And I love the fire of God in our children. I love what God is doing. I'm excited for the school of ministry. I'm excited. You guys, please pray for that. Because it's not going to be the same. It never is. I know that we want to do a healing room, but it's like, what do you got now? Holy Spirit, you're moving in a different way. Show us how to walk in this hour. But that's the same over this whole church. I also want to say that I so appreciate, our Sunday school teachers and them helping. I so appreciate the guys and girl that have been speaking. I appreciate that. I appreciate the ones that get up for offering. I love it. I love hearing all of you. It is like life to me because I hear, not only did I get it, I'm pushing on for more. I hear that every time. Do you know how exciting that is? I love that. And I just want to say I do appreciate this body. I appreciate our leadership. We've got incredible, integritous leadership. I appreciate what God has done here. I appreciate that family is revival. And you guys, I feel your love for us. I feel your prayers. Please keep it up. We need it. Because I have days I leak, and this was one of them. And I came in the room, and I was leaking, and I'm like, I do not want to do this today. And Ron doesn't need me leaking around him. I mean, he doesn't. Let you know, I'm so happy. Anyway, and, you know, two sisters just came up and just started praying for me. And I haven't leaked since. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I just want to ask God to let us be what we need to be in this move. In every single way, all of us. I know your hearts. I'm always preaching to the choir that already feels the same things I feel. So let's stand. Lord, I thank what Jared shared was so appropriate of where we are too. Can't feel your arms and legs, can't feel anything. Still trust you. I need your strength to move into new things. Holy Spirit, we're not a strong and mighty people. We're a people full of your strength and your might. So I just want to say right now, as a people, we glory. It's kind of a funny word. We glory, we rejoice in our weakness, in our inability, that your power and your might can anoint us and rest upon us.
and lead us. Lord, as we come into this new season, let dreams and visions come. Lord, let every person in this place have a sense of direction for their own lives. Give our leadership a sense of direction of where we're to go. Unite us with the body of Christ everywhere, Lord. God, no division whatsoever. We're not better. We're broken. We're just the same. Unite us, Lord. Holy Spirit, visit us. And let us be a part of this move. Lord, I pray for Paul and Laura and the group that goes and ministers in Bloomington and is going to go to the nursing home. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You laid that on their hearts. And we just ask for any that, Lord, have that on their heart to go with them. And we just speak anointing. And we pray, Lord, for deep works in the people they minister to. Life works. Lord, I thank you for all those that are involved in business. Lord, Josh and Brian are open today because of the apple butter. And Lord, there's just many others involved in all of these things in our town. God, I just pray for anointing. I pray for grace. Lord, enlarge businesses, enlarge power and authority. Lord, I believe that word, kingship, has come to the daughter of Zion. Kingship. Let it rest on us. Lord, I pray that in every place of business, in every home, as these mamas are raising these beautiful children. Holy Spirit, we invite you and just say, come rest like a dove on us. We receive. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message.